Hello and welcome to Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I'm your host, Lola.
And I'm your host, Aughty. Welcome to Season 3 of Hot Girls Code.
Oh my God, Season 3. It's so crazy because I remember when we went live with our first episode. So it is very wild to me that we're now on to Season 3. We hope that all of you listeners have had a restful break over the new year period and you're feeling nice and refreshed and ready to tackle 2024.
Yes, definitely. Now, full disclaimer, we are actually recording this before we go off on our break. So we're not quite at that point feeling refreshed and ready to tackle on the new year, more like crawling to the end of the year. But I'd like to believe that 2024, Aughty and Lola are feeling positive and bright and super excited.
Totally. We are manifesting it right now that, you know, we're going to listen to this episode when it comes out and we're going to feel that restful, restored feeling. But right now it is just getting to the new year. And speaking of manifesting and getting that positive energy, before we dive into today's episode, which is going to be all about coding myths, we want to express some gratitude. So, Aughty, what are you feeling grateful for this week?
I am feeling very grateful that I work at a job where I get to work remotely from time to time. So we live in a beautiful country, New Zealand, and there are so many cool places to explore and see. And this week, I'm actually working from a place called Taupo. It's on the North Island. It's got this gorgeous big lake. And it's just nice being able to come and have like a wee mini holiday without having to use my actual leave or anything like that. And just having, you know, some rest during the work week.
I remember the first time I went to Taupo when I was a kid, and my parents told me that the lake is like a volcano crater, and I had the worst night's sleep because I was just freaking out and I was thinking like, oh my God, this volcano is going to erupt over the night.
Oh no. Honestly, that is a scary thought when you think about it that way. I think a lot of people that grew up in New Zealand have like a slight fear of volcanoes when they're children, because I had the same thing where I was like, there are so many volcanoes around me. What if they erupt and kill me? But that's not feeling grateful. That's not what we're doing here today. Instead, we're grateful that I get to go explore and see all these volcanoes without having to take time off work and just spending the work day, you know, in a little hotel room, getting some stuff done and then going out in the evenings to explore.
And we're grateful that the volcano hasn't erupted.
Exactly. I like that spin. So Lola, what are you grateful for this week?
So this week, I'm feeling really grateful for painting and art in general. So over the weekend, I got a little table, a little desk, and I set up in my dining room like a little artsy corner. For my birthday, I was gifted an easel, which goes on a desk, and a bunch of paint supplies. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to set up this cute little painting corner. And I have just this week been painting a picture of the cat that I look after sometimes, Melguin. Shout out to Melguin. She's so cute. Little tuxedo cat. So that has made me very happy. And every night that I've been going to bed, I've been like looking at the painting and I'm like, good night, Melguin.
I love that. That's so cute. And I love that. Yeah, I feel like painting is such a nice way to like unwind and relax. So it's cute that you've been able to do it a little bit more recently.
It's so nice. Just such a like mindful activity. You're just focusing on the brush strokes and, you know, you're not doing it for any specific purpose. It's literally just good for the soul.
I love that. So with those good vibes and our, you know, souls feeling so good, let's get into today's episode. So as we talk about a lot on this podcast, there are lots of myths around coding and a lot of misconceptions that people have. So today we're going to go through our top 6 coding myths that you might hear before you start coding. And these are things that people might think about coding that aren't necessarily true.
I know that when I started learning how to code, I did believe a lot of these myths, and it's only with more experience that I've been able to realize that they are just myths. And if you feel the same way at the end of today's episode, please do let us know, because we love to hear about your experiences with these coding myths.
Totally. So with that, Lola, do you want to start us off with debunking our first coding myth?
Of course. Now, one of the first coding myths that you've likely already encountered is the myth that you need to be good at maths and physics in order to learn how to code. It's so funny because I definitely remember thinking that in order to be able to code, you had to just be this super smart mathematical genius, but that is simply not true.
Yeah, coding is challenging. We're not saying that it's easy and if you find it, you know, difficult, you're just stupid. That is not true. But what we are saying is you definitely don't need to be super mathematical or incredible at physics. A lot of coding is about breaking down problems into basic steps and then figuring out how to do those steps in whatever coding language you're using.
So that logical thinking process that you might use to solve maths or physics problems is applicable to programming too. But a lot of coding roles don't need an in-depth understanding of maths or physics.
And if you're listening to this and you love maths and physics and you are filled with disappointment that there isn't a place for it in coding, don't worry, that's not what we're saying at all. There are definitely some types of coding or areas of coding where maths or physics are useful. Things like optimizing algorithms or game development. Instead, what we're saying is more that there are a lot of general developer roles out there that don't use a whole lot of maths, and an understanding of basic algebra is more than enough for those.
So if you're sitting there and you're like me, not super obsessed with maths, like, you know, don't hate it, but also not my favorite thing. And if you think that that means you wouldn't love coding, we just want you to know that there's honestly a lot less overlap than you might think. And that is why you need to be good at maths or physics is a coding myth that we wanted to talk about and bust today.
Moving on, the second common coding myth that we wanted to touch on today touches on something we just spoke about, and that is that there is only one kind of coding. Or that if you've tried one type of coding and you didn't like it, you're not going to like the others. Now, this is totally untrue. There are a lot of different types of coding out there, and they all have different requirements and different strengths.
We do actually have a whole episode where we go into detail about a bunch of different types of software development. So if you want to hear more about, you know, the different kinds of software development that are out there, definitely check out episode 9.
Honestly, this is something I feel like a lot of people don't get told when they first start out. And I've seen this happen a few times where someone tries a certain type of software development and they don't really like it. And then they think that coding in general just isn't for them. That's definitely not the case.
That's so true. It's like you've had one bad experience and that just tars the whole concept of coding. But actually, there are so many kinds of coding out there and different people will enjoy different things. Like, if you're more of a visual person, then you might enjoy something like front-end development, which involves working on the user interface of an application. Whereas someone who loves working with data and databases might love themselves a bit of SQL, and they might absolutely hate front-end. It's really important to try out different kinds of coding to see what you enjoy, because honestly, you might be surprised.
Yeah, I remember my first ever proper software engineering job was an internship where I did data engineering, and I just did not enjoy it at all. Like, it was a no from me, and it was a strong no for me. But obviously, that doesn't mean I hate coding. It just means I love other types of software development and engineering that aren't data engineering.
And it's so interesting because if you had just decided then, no, I didn't like data engineering, I will never code again, clearly this is not for me, then you wouldn't have been able to find all of the other stuff which you do enjoy.
And I mean, Hot Girls Code would have never come to be if I wasn't coding. So if you believe that if you didn't like that one kind of coding, you're not going to like all kinds of coding, just remember, if I had believed that, then you wouldn't have Hot Girls Code.
And that would be a travesty. I think, yeah, it's really interesting because I feel like I've tried out a few different kinds of coding and there's definitely some that just happen to stick more than others. Like personally, I really enjoy front-end development. I also do enjoy a little bit of database work. Back-end development, you know, it depends on my mood. Sometimes, sometimes not. But, you know, I mean, it also depends on what language you're working with. There are a lot of variables, but it's definitely possible to find something that you like.
Definitely. Like, I spent a couple years focusing on back-end development and I was really enjoying it. I loved the breadth and depth of it all and I really enjoyed how much there was to learn, and it was what my jam was for a while. And then recently I tried front end again for the first time in a while, and I forgot how like immediately satisfying it is. Because that's the thing with back end, it's like you'll do a change and sometimes the payoff doesn't feel the same. It's like, oh, my API returned something differently. Like, it's just like, oh, the text on the screen looks slightly differently. Whereas with front end, it can be a lot more like, ooh, this whole box has this cool thing. And then when I change it to make the screen smaller, it resizes so beautifully. And it just feels a bit more satisfying. So in summary, if you try a certain type of coding and you don't like it, don't think you hate coding altogether. Try something different before you form that opinion.
Next up, the third coding myth that we wanted to talk about today is one that you might hear around on the internet, and that is that there is one coding language that is the best coding language, and everyone should just be using that one.
If you listen to our fifth episode, we spoke about what coding languages are and why we have so many of them, and you will know that the idea of one singular coding language being the best is absolutely not true. And that is because different languages have different purposes and they all work slightly differently.
100%. Like, some languages are better suited to something like web development, while other languages are suited to things like writing automation scripts. And it doesn't just vary on what the language is suited for, it also depends on just plain old personal preference. So yes, one person might find a certain language easier to use and perfect for whatever application they're building, but someone else might find that same language super tricky, and actually this other language has a lot more features that work for the thing that they're trying to build.
Yeah, I feel like it can be a bit of a tech bro thing that I've noticed, where they like really stan a certain language, and it's almost like they're looking down on people that use other languages, and they're like, you know, oh wow, you don't use my favorite coding language? Are you even a real dev?
Yeah, I feel like it can get a little bit gatekeepy when people are acting like that and they're like, oh, this is the best language. Like, you've never coded in this before. And it's like, just leave me alone. There's so many coding languages out there and there is no singular best one.
Definitely. And also my favorite is like when someone comes in for like a job interview and they're like, why did you use this language? Because obviously this other one that I like is the best one. And then you just rattle off the reasons and they're just like, oh.
Oh, that's so funny. And it's like they don't take into consideration all the context and like what went into making that decision. It's just like, oh, this is my opinion and I think this language is better. Why did you go with that one? So yeah, if you're listening, try not to be that person and just admit that there's no perfect language. Different languages are good for different uses, and let's all just be friends.
On a similar note, I feel like this myth also extends to the idea that there is one language that is the best language to start off learning to code. You know, like we've said, it is really dependent on the technology you're working with and the thing you want to use coding for. And it's true that different languages have different levels of a learning curve, but it's again something that can really depend on the person who's learning it. So do what feels most right for you.
If you are looking for some inspiration and some ideas about which languages you might want to consider when you're first learning how to code, definitely check out the episode we mentioned earlier, which is episode 5, Coding Languages. But if you have one in mind that seems super interesting and works for what you're doing, honestly, just go for it.
The next coding myth we wanted to talk about today is the idea that learning to code just means learning coding languages. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, what? It's not? There's more to it? Do not stress, because honestly, it's a very understandable misconception. A major part of learning to code is learning the syntax of coding languages. However, that's not all that's involved.
In addition to things like learning the syntax of coding languages, it's also really important to understand programming fundamentals. These are those foundational things that enable you to understand how to write better code. Things like design principles and the guidelines that help developers to write better software systems.
Understanding a coding language is one major part of coding, but it's equally important to understand how to write good quality code. Some of the things we look for in code are things like extensibility, maintainability, and reusability. So if you know how to write code, but not code that's extensible, maintainable, or any of the other good stuff, it might be a good time to work on your foundational knowledge and learn some of the design principles that can help guide us on how to write better code.
Lucky for you, we do have a few episodes about popular design principles, like in episode 12, where we talk about what good code is, and we go through a bunch of the most popular principles.
And then there's episode 34, where we go through the principles of object-oriented design.
And we do actually have an entire episode on the very popular SOLID principles, which are 5 widely used design principles. So definitely check out episode 37 if you want to learn more.
Loki, I do feel like this episode is just us plugging all our other episodes, but I think that just proves that, you know, we're not gatekeeping people. We are non-gatekeeping queens. We are like, oh yeah, that this is a myth. Well, let's bust that for you and also point you to some great further info so you can feel informed and thrive.
We literally have just come packed with references. We're like, oh, you want to know more about this? Check out this episode.
Definitely. But back to our coding myths. Hopefully you're listening kind of see now that even if you've learned a coding language, the learning doesn't stop there. You might learn a language, learn some of the fundamentals, but you definitely never stop learning in software. It's probably one of my favorite things because I do love to learn, and software technology is always evolving, and the languages and frameworks release new features all the time with cool new things that you can do with your code. And then also, you might have to relearn things that you learned before because the way that it's done has been updated and it's way better than it was before.
That's right. In tech, things are evolving all the time. So it's super important to try to stay relatively up to date with evolving practices and new ways of doing things. Even popular frameworks come and go. But if you have those software fundamentals, as opposed to just knowing one coding language, it will be easier for you to adapt and use those skills in new ways. And that is why learning to code just means learning coding languages is one of the coding myths we wanted to bust today.
Our second to last coding myth that we are busting for you today is the myth that coding is super boring and doesn't require any creativity. This is a personal favorite myth to bust for us because we are both quite creative people.
100%. And it's interesting because a lot of people don't think coding takes creativity, but actually it takes a lot of creative problem solving. So what I find interesting is how different people will come up with totally different technical solutions to the same coding problem. And that takes creativity.
For sure. So if you're someone that does believe this myth, like believes it with your whole heart, you might be listening to this and wondering, yeah, but are these two girls really that creative?
Yeah, you're probably like, come on, show us your receipts of your creativity because we don't believe you.
My creative art outlets are crafts like crocheting and sewing, and I haven't done it in a while and I really want to get back into it for funsies, but I also spent almost 20 years of my life being a musical theatre drama girly, and I get told by a lot of people when they meet me and they find that out that it makes a lot of sense, and I like to think that's a compliment.
Auti, you definitely have like drama kid energy.
Thank you, that's so kind.
And I would definitely say those are very creative endeavours. And my receipts are, you know, as I spoke about at the start of the episode, I love painting, I love art, and I also really enjoy playing guitar.
Also, I feel like we do have to mention your incredible makeup looks that you put together too, because those are definitely very creative.
Oh, thank you, Auti.
So, now that you're listening to this, you're like, okay, I'm convinced. These girls, they're creative. They're creative girlies. And now you're thinking, so how do you guys find it coding? Is it super dull and boring for us? The answer is no, of course it's not.
I mean, we couldn't really have that big build up and then just be like, yeah, coding sucks. We started a podcast on something we hated.
Imagine, after all that, actually this myth is real and coding is boring. That is definitely not the case.
Coding is actually really fun, really interesting, and it can absolutely be creative. And even in two different ways. Firstly, the result of the coding can be creative, like if you're making a really cool, innovative app or a video game. And secondly, the way the coding is done can be creative. This is that creative problem solving.
Let's talk through a bit of an example. So let's say you have an API, which stands for Application Programming Interface, and is basically a contract between two services. Like, if I ask for this, then I will know I get this object in return.
Now, anyone can just use an API. But maybe you have a really specific problem and you need to get creative with how you use and apply that API. That takes creativity and problem solving.
If you're able to apply that creative problem solving to your coding problems, then you can come up with some really interesting, unique solutions that maybe no one else has thought of. And if you have those creative abilities, you can really stand out in a software development team because you're the one that can twist and turn methods and functions in new ways and come up with really cool solutions for complex problems.
Obviously, it does depend on where you work and what kinds of things you're working on as to, you know, how creative you can get with your coding. But problem solving ultimately is a creative discipline, and most of what software developers do is problem solving.
So if you're worried that you won't enjoy coding because you're a creative girly, do not let that stop you. Coding is a lot more creative than many people think, and it's awesome that when you learn to code, you're actually able to create really amazing things.
The final coding myth that we are going to bust for you today is the myth that AI is going to replace developers. So what's even the point in learning to code? Now look, AI is definitely going to have an impact across lots of different sectors, but it doesn't mean it's going to replace everyone entirely.
Firstly, hello, you still need developers to work with data scientists to create, test, and deploy these AI models, as well as maintain them. So AI needs devs to be useful.
But it isn't even just that. As we've said already today, software development is so much more than just writing code. It's about problem solving. It's about applying different design principles. It's about getting creative about your solutions. Yes, AI can help you with that process, but they're more like assistants rather than the main doer of things.
There's also the fact that people like product managers or product owners would have to be able to really articulate their requirements to AI in order for AI to even create the thing that they want to create.
And if you've worked in the tech industry, you will know that getting a fully fledged set of requirements can be very difficult. And there is a lot of back and forth between developers and the people deciding on what product should actually be created or developed.
So until AI is practically human, all developer roles will definitely not be taken over by AI because you really do need that human touch. But let's take a little moment to talk a bit about what AI does mean for developers.
Using AI to code is like adding another layer of abstraction. You still need to ask generative AIs like ChatGPT for exactly what you want, and you need to understand some of the technical stuff in order to be able to do that.
You also need to be able to check the code that is produced by an AI because there might be things that are intuitive to you, so you don't mention them in your generative prompt, and so the AI doesn't take it into account. Like, maybe there's something that is super important for writing secure code. You know that when you write code, you remember to write things a certain way to protect your system, but the code produced by an AI might not know about that.
So, yeah. AI won't be out there replacing the entire software developer industry anytime soon. And instead, AI will be a tool to help people move faster and be more efficient. Programmers are still going to be needed to fully understand the problems we're trying to solve and how we can use technology to do that. AI will absolutely be a part of that, but it doesn't replace us completely. And that is why we wanted to bust this myth that AI is going to replace developers.
And that was the sixth and final coding myth that we wanted to talk to you all about today. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. So today we went through and busted some common coding myths that people might hear before they start to learn to code, like having to be a maths genius to be able to code, that there's only one kind of coding, and that a single coding language is the best.
We also explained how learning to code doesn't just mean learning coding languages, that coding is a lot more creative than people think, and AI will not be taking our jobs anytime soon. Our next episode is our first interview for season 3, and it is with the incredible Winona Naro Malefa, who is going to be telling us all about her job as a UX designer, what it was like for her to move from a data analyst role into UX, and how her life experience and identities help her to design more inclusive user experiences.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would really appreciate it if you could share it with your friends or on social media to spread the word and get Hot Girls Code to more wonderful women.
We'd also love it if you could leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts.
If you need some more Hot Girls Code in your life, you can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
Thanks for listening.